Well, several years ago, we powwowed and we came up with a concept, and we called it Thursdays with Linda. Once a month, the last Thursday of every month, investigative reporter and Emmy Award-winning producer Linda Moulton and I would go out and do incredible stories for us, and we would air them on the final Thursday of every month. And we still do that. But you know what? Next Thursday happens to be Christmas, and then we run into New Year's. So we thought, you know, we don't want to let Linda have to work all the holidays, so let's move her up a little bit this week. So tonight, Linda was with us. We're going to have 2 hours of special reports with her, and then the final hour, conversations with Linda. You'll be able to talk with her. And in a moment, she begins her special series of reports for you right here on Coast to Coast AM. I wonder what your Christmas present is this year, Linda. What do you think?
From whom?
From the staff here.
I don't know.
You know, I go around every year with a hat, and I force them to put money in it for your Christmas present. And this year, they were very, very benevolent, and I have raised close to $22,000 for a Christmas present for you.
Well, I'm speechless. What's on the other side of that sentence?
April Fools. Oh, but we're off by a little bit. How are you?
I am fine. And do you remember when I did my October news updates for Coast about the green glowing humanoid and thunderbirds in Pennsylvania?
Yes. Great story.
And that same night, after midnight on October 24th, we received a phone call from a truck driver named Tim Comstock. And he was really excited to tell us what he had seen just the night before in Empire, Ohio. And on the air, he described a triangle of lights and glowing object below that was rising up to the triangular craft's dark crystalline surface. And Tim took 3 photos of the objects on his cell phone, which I reported in an October 31st Earth Files. And Coast listeners can see that report and tonight's Coast news updates by going to www.earthfiles.com, that is my news website, and click on the hot links at the top of the headlines page. His are, right now, the only photographs in existence, actual photographs of this glowing pod and triangle that you're going to hear more about. Because since that October report from Empire, Ohio, I have received more sighting reports from Ohio residents provoked enough by Tim's photographs at Earth Files to contact me about their own sightings of the triangle and the very strange glowing pod, or cocoon, as Tim described it, rising up into the triangular craft. And I'm going to begin with a security guard that I'll call Sarah, who works in the Stratton and Empire, Ohio region. Sarah is 48 years old, was born and raised in Steubenville, Ohio, north of Empire, and has worked as a security guard the past 11 years. She was very surprised to see Tim Comstock's photographs because back in the first week of August 2008, Sarah was on security duty around midnight when she saw a triangle pattern of lights like the one in Tim's photos. And then again, on October 23rd at 3:45 a.m., while Tim Comstock had slowed his big truck down to about 2 miles an hour on Route 7 south of Empire to watch the amazing lights and snap images on his cell phone, Sarah was maybe 3/10 of a mile further north on old Route 7 watching the exact same phenomenon. Tonight on Coast, Sarah begins with her August sighting of a triangular pattern of light.
Here it is.
The first time I saw the triangular shape, I was at work, and I was looking at the different stars and everything, and this one section north of the plant, the stars just suddenly just seemed to disappear. As I was watching it, there was these 3 bright, like a yellowish-white light that appeared. They were triangular shaped. You couldn't see any form, 3D form to it, but it was 3 lights. And these 3 lights kind of hovered for a while. They would get bright, and then they would have a little bit of orange mixed into them. And then it moved up, straight up in the sky, then it moved towards the east, and it stopped, and it started to go north, and then it kind of zigzagged from west to east, and then it took off straight up It was almost faster than your eyes could follow it.
Do you remember the date in August?
I believe it was like the 5th or the 6th, right around midnight. But at that time in August, it did not have the 3D pod under it. And there was one person that was working that night that said that they had seen something, but they were up a little bit further north than where I was. And they said that they saw something that blocked out the stars and there was bright lights.
Sarah didn't talk to anyone else about the early August sighting of the triangle pattern of lights that moved so strangely. But 3 months later, at 3:45 a.m. on October 23, 2008, not only was she seeing the triangle pattern of round lights again, but rising below the triangular aircraft was a mysterious, large, orange-yellow glowing object that she refers to as a pod, a 3D pod. Truck driver Tim Comstock felt the rising, glowing object was somehow alive and organic and called it a cocoon. Tim could not stop his truck and never saw what happened when the glowing cocoon or pod reached the triangle of lights. But Sarah did, and now continues her description of what happened after she again saw stars disappearing in the sky.
I was doing a patrol down at our abandoned Toronto plant. I was coming northbound on Old Route 7, looking at the sky, and I noticed that the stars were disappearing. I pulled off the side of the road, and I noticed these three really bright lights. They were circular shaped, and they were almost like looking into a spotlight. There were three of them. They formed like a triangular shape, and it just hovered above the trees, and there was this pod, like a 3D pod shape, that was a bright yellowish orange that was raising up from like the trees, went up towards the triangular shaped object. The closer it got, the more you could see that there was a bottom between the three bright circular lights. And it was like a dark charcoal gray to a black, and it had a real rough texture, like aluminum foil crumpled up and you straighten it up.
So kind of a crystalline, crinkly surface.
Yes.
I wonder if you could describe the pod as you're looking at it a little more and what exactly you're seeing and what happens as it rises toward the triangular configuration of lights.
The bottom of it almost looked like if you were looking at the bottom of a boat, the oval, but yet it has a ridge through the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of looked like that. And then it almost like squared off going further up. And from the way I was looking at it, it looked almost like a bright yellowish orange in color.
And how far do you think that you were from that rising cocoon or pod in relationship to where Tim Comstock was?
From there, I was probably 3/10 of a mile further north than what he was. The 3D pod kept raising up. I never saw an opening in the bottom of the craft. But it was like, as the pod got closer, it was like the craft kind of like sucked it in, or I can't explain. It was like the pod just suddenly disappeared. And then the bright lights, they hovered there for a few minutes, and then they just shot up.
Intuitively, did you have any instinct about what you were watching?
When I saw the 3D pod shape coming up, then it wasn't anything that I had ever seen. My immediate thought was that I had just witnessed another UFO.
Not from this planet?
No. Wholeheartedly, I believe it was not from the Earth.
Can you explain why you felt that so strongly?
Just by the feeling that I got and the way it looked, I had never seen anything like that before. But I just got this weird, almost like a tingling feeling, like almost like it is whenever you know somebody's watching you, but you can't see them.
Right.
It was almost like that. And that whole feeling quit as soon as the triangular-shaped object disappeared. It was like everything was back to normal again.
Well, back at that hillside along Route 7 where Tim Comstock pulled his big rig down to 2 or 3 miles an hour so he could watch and take those cell phone photos, what is that hill?
On top of that hill is a place called Sugar Grove. It's just basically a road with houses spread out on it. The power plant even has a microwave tower up there where all of our communications go through. And after seeing that, I took a trip up there because that seemed to be the general area where this pod was lifting up from. So I thought, well, maybe it had landed or something, you know, and there would be marks on the ground. But it was dark and I didn't see anything. I've seen several odd objects in the sky or hovering over that area.
Sarah told me she has seen dozens of odd aerial lights in that area, another as recently as November 21st. It was a disc with blue, red, yellow, and orange lights spinning left to right around it. Sarah said the object in the sky appeared larger than a full moon. Another surprising discovery after I posted my Earth Files news report about Tim Comstock's photos came from Midvale, Ohio, about an hour's drive west of Empire. Midvale is in Tuscarawas County and has a population of about 550. One young resident there is 22 years old, recently married, and goes by the nickname Joy. Joy has insomnia and is often up after midnight, as she was in the early morning hours of Sunday, November 2nd, 2008.
The last time I looked at the clock, it was 2:33 a.m. on November 2nd. I'm usually up late watching TV. I decided to go over and have a cigarette, which I always sit at the desk to do, outside the window. And something caught my eye out the window, and I looked out to see a very large, orangish, yellowish, whitish orb, for lack of a better word. It didn't seem to keep one shape. I saw it at the edge of the tree line behind my house.
And when you say it didn't keep a shape, can you explain that?
It just seemed to kind of waver around.
In your email to me, you described it as watching an amoeba.
Yes. It looked like as if you were looking under a microscope, the little blobs that you see, how they sort of just wiggle around.
So this was glowing, but it was changing shape rapidly.
Yes.
And it was rising at the same time?
It moved horizontally and was changing shape, but it wasn't like going up or down. It was just following a straight line through the tree line. Then it dipped down behind the trees. And when it did that, I could see the silhouette of the trees in front of it, but I could not see the trees behind it, as if it were solid. After that, it hung in the air in the same spot for probably less than 30 seconds, moved backwards and upwards a little bit. Then, a lot more rapidly than it had been moving, it moved forward, but further away from me and up, way higher than the tree line. Right away, I called a friend who lives on the next road over and asked her if anything was going on. She said there was something behind her house over the wooded area that's right behind our first road in town.
Is she the neighbor who said her dog was going crazy?
Yes.
Could you hear animals around your area?
Yes, they were going absolutely crazy.
From your perspective, this glowing amoeba-changing object rose up to a triangular pattern of whitish lights in the sky and disappeared?
Yes. It reached it, and it hung there for a few moments, and then all the lights went out as if somebody just flipped a switch and turned them off.
As you were staring from the window, did you have any intuitive flash in your mind about what it might be?
I didn't until afterwards. I was just kind of frozen to the window. I was so shocked because it was just so odd. It takes you by surprise. There's something that close right to you, and there's no way to explain what it is. And I'm surprised that I actually had the common sense to open the window to get a better look. I was just kind of hypnotized by it, you know. I wanted to see what it did, where it went. It just all these things going through my head, like, what could it be?
How far do you think it was from you?
It was about a large backyard distance away from me.
Less than 300 feet away?
Yeah.
The color was what orange that I might know?
It was a little lighter than pumpkin orange.
With some yellow and white running through it. And when you say that, was the object that was changing shape, did it ever give you the impression that it was spinning?
Not spinning, but tilting a little.
Tilting.
Even though it was changing shape, it appeared that there was a front and a back, because whenever it stopped and backed up, it started to tilt as if it were turning like towards one direction or the other, then went back horizontally. And instead of turning around, it just backed up, like reverse, and then went forward.
And you could see it tilt when it was making those back and forward motions?
Yes.
This was not very far from you. Could you hear any sound?
No sound whatsoever except the dog.
When you think of staring at the amoeba-range object, Does anything come into your mind associated with what might be in the glowing light or the triangle?
That's what I wonder. I tried to come up with any possible explanation. What could this be? And it didn't seem to be a man-made object or anything mechanical or a spotlight or a flashlight beam or anything. It was different than anything I'd ever seen.
And George, I am hoping that tonight there might be other eyewitnesses from Empire or Midvale, Ohio.
Maybe.
Yeah, and if you're out there, please contact me through my email, which is earthfiles@earthfiles.com. And requests for anonymity are always honored. And I have already received one short email, and it says, I live in Ohio. I have witnessed this black triangle UFO. Now, the others are saying that they could see the three triangle lights, or the lights at the three corners. And then as this pod moved up, it sort of shone on the bottom of this huge craft, a triangular shape, and that's where they talk about it looking like if you took a piece of coal and you cracked it open, it would have that kind of crystalline dark structure. So that may be what this new email means, black triangle UFO, along with my mother and younger sister. I noticed on your site, most of the sightings were at night, but the one I saw was about 7:30 in the morning. I can provide a very accurate report if at all interested. I didn't report the sighting to anybody at the time because I didn't think anyone would believe me. Now that I know others have seen this, I can rest in peace. This thing really freaked me out. So this is a response that I have already received, and I'm hoping that there are other people out there, because the fact that Sarah first saw this in August and now Tim Comstock, Sarah, other eyewitnesses that I'm learning about and hope to report about in the future, and Joy and half a dozen eyewitnesses in Midvale have all seen this, and it raises the question, what is this process? What is this glowing object that Tim Comstock had the feeling was something alive, and that's why he called it a cocoon, and Sarah and Joy have both stressed that the light that was rising up to the triangle was unlike anything that they had ever seen, and both women were strongly stressing it did not seem to be earthly in the sense of recognizing anything here on this planet. So this is an ongoing mystery, and coming up in the next half hour, George, is the most extraordinary aerial craft description by a police officer that I've ever heard in my career. The location is back in Stephenville, Texas, right over the Erath County Courthouse, and the officer estimated this craft at 600 feet in diameter.
Jeez. Hey, Linda, have you ever seen Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles?
I haven't, but I understand from about, 100 emails that they had the drones last year depicted, and I haven't seen it yet. I'm very interested, and let me tell you, there's a lot more on that drone story I hope to report about in a few months.
And they even had an informant, like you had Isaac, remember?
Yeah.
It's almost as if they've been listening to reports on this program because they styled those episodes just like your reports, Linda. Stay with us. Back in a moment with Linda Moltenhau right here on Coast to Coast AM. Are you a subscriber to the After Dark magazine? If you're not, you're going to get two CDs, old Art Bell interviews with the late Father Malachi Martin. When you subscribe or when your renewal's up, you'll get them as well. Call 1-888-727-5505. You can also go online at coasttocoastam.com. And when we come right back, it's more with reporter Linda Moltenhau on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. We're with Linda Moulton. Linda, I really haven't had a chance to talk to you since we were live at the UFO Crash Retrieval Conference, and had a great time there.
Oh, I thought it was really fun, and I think that we covered a lot of more deep ground than often happens on radio or TV.
Had a couple of people wondering if you and John Alexander went at it and punched each other out, of course, in a very literal way, of course.
Well, I think he knows straightforwardly that I have really never trusted his intent, and I look at him as somebody who spent his life in the Army, military, and perhaps some remote viewing, and has struck most of us who have ever talked with him about subjects we knew something about as somebody who was, I'm going to say this in a nice way, deflecting facts.
You think he's a plant, don't you?
Well, I don't know so much plant as a person who maybe just by habit from his military career is never really straightforward. And if John is listening, I'm just speaking straightforwardly. I think that he has that sense from a lot of people, and a nice person. And all I was trying to do on that Vegas coast was to do a reality check or keep him a little grounded with some facts. So I hope that people appreciated that sometimes when you are interviewing people and you really are trying to keep things on an even keel, people can hear tension, but it's really not serious.
No, not at all. Okay, Stephenville, Texas, a story that just won't go away. You did a great job for us, by the way, not only on Coast to Coast, but on our sci-fi television program, The Unexplained, when you talked about Stephenville. Tell us what's new.
That's right, and I've had a lot of very nice feedback on that TV show, so hopefully we can do more of that. But, you know, it was almost 1 year ago. At the end of January 2008, I traveled to Stephenville, Texas to talk with eyewitnesses, and I wanted to see videotapes and photos and sketches of the many unidentified aerial craft sightings and lights that were being reported that month. And it was over Stephenville, Dublin, Selden, Glenrose, these communities of rural towns that are southwest of Dallas-Fort Worth. And one eyewitness in January was Leroy Gayton, Erath County Constable for Precinct 2 that we had on that sci-fi special.
Yes.
And he's officed in Dublin, a town of about 4,000 people, and it's only 8 miles southwest of Stephenville. Stephenville is the larger Erath County seat with about 15,000 residents. Well, Leroy Gayton had watched with his own eyes from his Dublin, Texas home as a disc-shaped object was spinning and, as Leroy put it, throwing off different colors in the sky. But the most dramatic incidents that he described to me were the close-up encounters by three fellow police officers from Erath County between 7 to 7:30 p.m. on January 8, 2008. And that was the first well-publicized night that made national and international news after at least three dozen people reported spinning lights, lights jumping around, and even aerial craft of some kind seeming to change shapes, morphing in the sky. And Leroy told me that none of the Erath County police officers would speak on the record because each was afraid of losing his job or public ridicule or both. Leroy told me he also had heard that, quote, someone, unquote, in military authority wanted to see a dash cam video that the sheriff was holding from one of the officers' patrol cars. But when Stephenville reporter Angela Joyner finally was given a copy of the alleged dash cam video by the Erath County Sheriff's Office, the tape did not show the dramatic events described by the three police officers. So far, there are no answers to the speculation that the original videotape was suppressed. Now, for the first time, I have been able to interview one of those police officers. He still wants to withhold his name to protect his identity and asked me to call him Greg for my news report. Here now is Erath County Police Officer Greg describing what he saw with his own eyes in downtown Stephenville, Texas, between 7 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. on January 8, 2008.
And I saw a large rectangular black object just slowly moving toward the courthouse. I saw it for maybe 3 to 4 seconds. And then I went down the crest of the hill and I thought to myself, well, that was a rather large, aircraft of some kind. I I've never seen anything that low, moving that slow. And it concerned me for a minute. I thought, well, maybe we have a commercial airliner trying to land at our little airport that can't support that. So I went further down the South Loop and got to about Lillian Street, looked toward the courthouse again. I had a pretty good view. It's winter. It's January. There's no foliage on the trees. And I saw this large craft hovering by the courthouse about 200 feet off the ground. I went further down to the City Park Bridge on South Loop. And it's a very, very large open area. I have an unobstructed view of the courthouse. And there was this craft hovering there. It had two large, like, headlights on a car. These headlights were about 35 feet in diameter. The brightness coming off of them was similar to a xenon headlight. I'm sure you've seen those. They were, I would say, a couple hundred feet apart. The whole craft from the left to the right, I would call wingtip, was about 600 feet across. And it looked like it was longer than that.
How high do you think this was above you?
Above me? I would say 200 feet.
So very close.
Now, as far as distance away from me, I would say a quarter of a mile or less.
And you are judging this enormous size of 600 feet in diameter and 35 feet diameter headlights.
Yes.
Compared to what around you gave you that judgment?
Well, the courthouse itself and the area that it was at, I could go back and go block for block and get a good measurement of the size of the thing. And to me, it looked like you could put four or five commercial aircraft wingtip to wingtip across the front of it, that large.
And at that point, is it completely stationary?
Yes, not moving. I reached over and grabbed my camera. I swiveled the head around, looked in my viewfinder. All I got was washout on the windshield and also the bracing on the window. From the hood down to the dashboard, It was right in the way. I was in the left-hand lane, so I couldn't stop. There was cars behind me, cars beside me. I really wanted to stop and just turn my car facing it and film it, but I couldn't. It was too dangerous for me to do that. So I proceeded up to Graham Street and made a left. When I turned, I'm looking directly at this craft. At this point, it starts turning up at a 35 to 40 degree angle off the left wingtip. It rises there for about maybe 3 seconds, and then it goes completely 90 degrees and starts moving away from me.
And if I understand, you're saying that this huge object pivoted from one wingtip up 45 degrees and then a full 90 degrees without the wingtip position moving.
Right, without it dipping low.
Incredible.
Yeah. And at this point, another light comes on in the center of the craft. So you have now, instead of the two headlights, you have three identical. And it starts pulling away. I reach up and grab my radar, swivel it up into the sky, and turn it on. And I got a hit. It showed 27 miles per hour and accelerating. It got to about 33 miles per hour, and I lost my lock. You know, it's moving so far away, I can't get a good lock on it anymore. At this point, it accelerated very fast. It went all the way across town within like 2 to 3 seconds. Then it veered to the left in the 90-degree angle. It just veered a little to the left and just kept going. And it got out of range where I couldn't see it anymore. At this point, I grabbed my mic. I started to call it in. And then I realized, you know, how's this going to sound on the radio? I'm basically a new officer. I haven't even worked there a year. I'm still on probation, and I didn't really know how my supervisors were going to take it. I knew I wasn't the only one that saw it. There's people in front of me. There's people behind me. I knew other people had just seen it. So I just put the mic back down. I didn't call it in. Later that evening, we met with some other officers in the area, and I asked them if they saw this large craft lumbering around town. And one of the officers said, no, I didn't, but Officer Gayton saw something in Dublin. And that's, of course, when I got a hold of Constable Gayton and we started talking about it. And about a week later, I was at work and one of the officers said, hey, I know you saw something. I said, yeah, I did. He said, there's two other officers here that saw it too. So he got me in touch with them. We all met. and we decided to do our own little investigation. One of the officers was at his house when he witnessed it. The other officer was going home from work. He gets off at 7. He drove directly underneath it when it was about 200 feet off the ground to the south of Stephenville. The other officer was at home. He was in his backyard. He lives kind of up on a ridge. He said the craft was lower than him in a valley, and it started going up a ridge across from him. On top of this ridge was a telephone pole, and underneath the telephone pole was a pickup with his headlights on. As the craft went up the ridge, almost hitting the pole, he said it just barely cleared it. It went directly over that pickup. We've yet to find out who that is, by the way. But they had one fantastic view of this craft. That officer saw the top of it, and that's where he got the drawing for the top of the craft. The other officer drove beneath it, and that's where he got the color and what it looked like from underneath. Now, when I saw it, it was blacked out. It had some kind of cloaking capability. It was so blacked out, it was darker than the sky around it. It gave, you know, just a little bit of a silhouette. And also when I saw it, it had two towers on the top, about 30 to 40 foot tall. They had strobe lights on top of them, and they sporadically strobed. And there was three towers underneath it hanging down, 30 to 40 foot tall, and they strobed white. Now, when I first saw this, they were strobing, like I said, sporadically. Then after a minute, they completely stopped strobing. And the only thing you could see was on the very, very far wingtips, left and right, were two little red steady lights and big, massive headlights. When it left, you could still see a silhouette of it as it's leaving in the distance. And it was blacked out, more or less.
Could you or any of the other two officers hear anything from this craft?
We heard no noise. I rolled down my window, and I didn't hear any noise. Of course, I had highway noise around me, but I heard no jet engines, no roar of an airplane engine, nothing like that. The other two officers didn't hear any noise either, but they were able to see color. It had lit up its color. And also, the officer that drove underneath it was so close, he said it had no rivets, but it had a texture, like a large canvas-like texture to it. And it was olive green color.
No rivets, some kind of a canvas texture all over it. And was the color of olive drab?
You know, it's the color of the graphics I sent you. That is correct. And he said the canvas texture to him appeared metallic, a metal, but it had the rough pattern design.
And it is interesting that in Empire, Ohio, that the truck driver said that it looked like if you cracked open coal, you could see that kind of crystalline structure. I have talked with another security guard, and she drew for me what would be closer to canvas. And now you're saying that on January 8th, above Stephenville was this gigantic object, also with a textured canvas-like surface.
Correct.
Have you had anybody off the record from military or intelligence come to talk with you about what you saw?
No, nobody's come forward. Nobody's talked to us.
Do you find that strange? I'm asking in the context of post 9/11, in a world where anything in the sky should be considered a possible national security threat to FEMA, and that this is so large and unidentified that you would think that every single one of you who were eyewitnesses in Stephenville or Dublin on January 8th, 2008, would be interviewed by top authority in FEMA.
Yeah, that, that you put it that way, yeah, that does seem kind of odd. You know, if it's a military experimental craft of some kind, I don't see why they'd be flying it over a populated city. That certainly doesn't keep it secret anymore. If it's not, then it is of some sort of concern.
And is there any evidence anywhere on this planet that any nation is making something that is 600 feet in diameter and completely silent and able to stand still in the air?
Not that I know of.
So it is truly a aerodynamic mystery, let alone what is the source.
Definitely.
Well, now, great story.
Well, yeah, George, and it doesn't end there. Recently, a week before Thanksgiving on November 18th, between 7 and 7:30 p.m. again, a couple driving near Stephenville called 911 to report that a silver metallic sort of flattened blimp-shaped craft, and I'll give you a description that came to Officer Greg from the couple. Imagine a Tylenol caplet, they said, and then you shaved off the top and the bottom, making it more of a flattened blimp, if that makes any sense to you. And this thing was pacing their pickup at 70 miles an hour and then pulled in front of their truck, nose down toward the road, and they estimated only 75 feet off the ground. A really aggressive motion. The female told Officer Greg that a bright spotlight then shone on them from this craft, which caused the couple to stop right there in the road. And then the craft flipped to the other side of the road, almost like in a wing over, and shone a bright light into the car in front of the couple. And that car did not stop. Somebody out there saw this incredible, what do you want to call it, aerodynamic flip of something that looks like a Tylenol caplet, thin, or a very flattened blimp. Somebody out there saw this and kept going in their car, maybe because they were afraid. They didn't.
Maybe, yeah.
And there is another eyewitness out there somewhere that Officer Greg told me that if they could find the person who was at that truck after the craft had come sweeping over the police officer's house, and it was there was a that officer was up above looking down and could see this craft sort of down like in a valley and came right up over somebody parked in a truck right over. In fact, he was afraid that the craft, this huge 600-foot diameter craft, was not going to clear the pickup truck, if you can imagine such a thing. Well, I sure would like to hear from that person. And for people listening, you can see this really extraordinarily well-done graphic of the profile look that Officer Greg saw and the one of the officers, and then the view from up on the police officer's house looking down in the valley to the top of this craft. Both of those are done through computer graphic illustration, and he gave me permission to use them at Earth Files. They are beautifully done. And when you look at them, George, and you realize this is a police officer very familiar with that block in where the Erath County Courthouse is, and when he says it's 600 feet in diameter, he's using it where he can walk it off, as he said. He can walk off exactly wingtip to wingtip, and it's at least 600 feet. And this is, to me, starting to become the kind of at least testimony of somebody in law enforcement authority that is describing something that I would say there's no evidence anyone on this planet has ever made.
And next hour, what did the CIA know about UFOs a long time ago? And what do they know now? Up next, Linda Moulton Howe continues her special series of reports on Coast to Coast AM.